Tune it in, check it out, listen up, find out what it is all about.
Welcome, this is Matthew Bronson, and this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson on KUPR 99.9 FM in the high desert of Placitas, New Mexico. And what could be more appropriate than speaking about the high desert than having a representative from the Master Gardener program. I don't know if my guest is the Master Gardener, but she is a Master Gardener, and we're going to find out how you can become a Master Gardener also, or make use of the services. Today on Conversations, we want to welcome Sandy from the Sandoval County Master Gardener program. Welcome.
Thank you, Matthew.
And you're a 10-year veteran both of Placitas and of the Master Gardener.
I'm a 10-year veteran resident in Placitas, and a 9-year veteran of the Sandoval County Master Gardeners.
Oh, well, I guess that's true. We have to allow time for training.
Yes.
So let's get some of the administrative stuff kind of out of the way. That it is a program that's associated with the County Extension, Agricultural Extension Office.
Right.
And it is a training program. With minimal fee, and it's, before we get into all the specifics, what I really wanted to get to was the website.
Okay, yeah, the website. That is a very important bit of information.
And it's a great website.
Yes, and it's very easy to access. It's sandovalmastergardeners.org. And so don't put county in there. It's sandovalmastergardeners.org.
Right. Gardeners, plural.
Yes. That is correct. Gardeners, plural. And www.sandovalmastergardeners.org. It's very easy to get to. We have a very easy heading, a horizontal heading on there, and you can find gardening FAQs, plant of the month feature, classes, and that's really important for our public.
But right on the homepage. I did it before I got here.
Okay,
this morning.
Good.
Plant of the month, Apache bloom.
The Apache plume, yes. It's
a
very, ubiquitous plant here in Placitas and all over Sandoval County. It's quite lovely. It looks a little rough right now, but in the spring it has beautiful white flowers, and then it goes through a stage of seeding stage of pink plumes.
But it's almost not like, well, you're right, it's plumes, it's not leaves. It's not really a flower. It reminds me of sea urchins and sea anemones in a way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I only mention that because as soon as you get to SandovalMasterGardeners.org, you get to see something pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, across the top, the menu, very robust. I even found a calendar for the month. And I can go out months and back months to see what I missed. And also more calendar type things like the Corrales Growers Market.
Yes,
not necessarily a Master Gardener project.
Well, Master Gardeners are at the Corrales Growers Market every Sunday, and it is kind of like a plant clinic or a help desk. People that are going to the Corrales Growers Market to buy vegetables or to enjoy a burrito on Sunday morning, they can find the Master Gardeners there, and they can ask questions. So there's typically 3, maybe up to 4 Master Gardeners there, and they'll take your questions. If they can't answer them immediately, they'll get back to you. They can take your phone number, email address. They can also set you up with the extension agent for additional help, or a Master Gardener that does home visits.
Right. And you had mentioned go down to the Corrales Growers Market because you have produce there.
Right.
But you said get a Sunday breakfast burrito.
Yes.
Now, I guess I haven't been here long enough because that doesn't sound like Sunday breakfast, although I was told a while ago that anything you put eggs on in New Mexico is breakfast.
That is correct. And green chili, of course.
Yes.
Unless you like red chili. But,
but there are other you could do both.
Yeah, or do both.
Christmas. That you have a Waterwise Garden Workshop, homescapings.
And don't forget the Bernalillo Farmers Market, too. It used to be part of the Zia Pueblo, but now there is an independent Bernalillo Growers Market that meets every Friday during the growing season. It's,
right on your
it's
way
ongoing.
Home. 4 to 7 p.m. or until they
right.
run out?
Well, it's in the park near the housing development there. So it's not no longer on Camino del Pueblo.
Right.
It's interior.
There's a little pavilion there.
Yes, there's a beautiful pavilion there.
I went.
And they have also a website that you can find. So that's also an option. And Master Gardeners and Linda Garvin are doing demos there. It's not every Friday, but once a month they do a cooking demo on how to use fresh vegetables and making cooking easy.
And I think the secret to really having a good fresh vegetable in your diet is to have a really good unhealthy dip to dip it into.
I'm sure that's part of it.
But, you know, at the Bernalillo Growers Market, first time I've seen in any of the smaller town local growers markets, there was a woman who grows flowers. And it was a month or so ago. I think she had gladiolas. Mm-hmm. Beautiful colors. Yes. A nice bunch for crazy low price. And it just expanded my knowledge of, wannabe gardener, that you can actually, in this climate, I just thought you need a different climate for bulbs, but apparently not.
Mm-hmm. No, people grow, it's amazing. With all the challenges that we do face here in the high desert in Sandoval County, that there are a lot of very skilled gardeners out there, and they grow vegetables that probably most of us don't grow, or flowers, beautiful flowers, and potatoes too. It's very difficult to grow potatoes here because of our very dry soils. But we have vendors at the farmers markets that are selling, wonderful potatoes, great tasting potatoes.
It's funny you say that, because just a week or two ago I was watching a home and garden show or whatever, and the gentleman was talking about potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And he grows sweet potatoes in an old wheelbarrow that he doesn't use anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's very, very interesting. He showed how you get the, you put it in the vase with toothpicks like you did as a kid.
Yes.
And it's not actually the potato that propagates, correct me if I'm wrong, because my memory's terrible, not like garlic, where it just kind of expands.
Mm-hmm.
It's the shoots off of the potato that actually, that's the thing that goes and makes potatoes.
Yes, that is correct.
See, you learn something new every day.
And what a lovely container, too. I mean, it's a good way to use your old equipment and making a very stylish statement in your vegetable gardening.
I immediately thought that within weeks I'd be getting a letter from my homeowners association about to move my wheelbarrow out of sight. I guess it depends where you live. But well, let's go back to the Master Gardeners program.
Yes, let's do.
Because I've been jumping all over, which is kind of my trademark. Can you break it down into like 4, 5, 6 things that the whole program is?
Okay, the whole program is, I mean, most people identify it with being as a training program for master gardeners, and it is. That is a large focus of the organization. We do offer a master gardener training course once a year, starting in the first week in January. Sandoval County is on Tuesdays, their class. And it'll run anywhere from 14 to 16 weeks. So that is what, if you want to become a master gardener training, you have to go through that course. And it includes lectures and hands-on training.
And there's a separate book you have to buy?
Your fee... which is, last year was $125. I believe there is going to be an increase this year, but a moderate increase. But that includes your course, and NMSU professors and local experts that come to give the training classes. And then includes either a book or a USB drive with the information on there. The book is on there. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't display it on my bookcase proudly and go, Matthew, I didn't know you were a master gardener. I put my little thumb drive up there.
Yeah.
Maybe I can.
That is a problem because some people elect to still purchase a book for that reason. But you also get a certificate at the end of your training,
right.
So you can display
unframed.
That.
Unframed?
Yes. Okay. Well, no, it's framed.
It's framed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's, 5 or 6 hours per class?
Yes, it's 4 to 5 hours. In addition, during the week, there's training, advanced training that you can also attend to increase your knowledge. And in addition to that, we ask Master Gardeners to perform a minimum of 40 hours of community service. In that 40 hours is inclusive of your training class, which is equivalent to 10 hours. So after you complete your training class, you have 30 hours, volunteer hours, and of
Where would I do it? It's not policing the McDonald's parking lot.
10 hours we ask to do outreach, such as our Master Gardener hotline, plant clinics, the growers markets, home visits, talking to people in your neighborhood. Education can also be outreach. And then we also, the other remaining 20 hours is done in community volunteer projects like our demonstration gardens, Seed to Need, the DeLavey House. We also have after-school programs, which are growing in popularity right now. Here in Placidas, we have the Caterpillars, which is an after-school program in the Placidas Elementary School. We meet every Wednesday, and it's for grades 3 to 5, and we have a garden, we have a greenhouse, and Master Gardener volunteers work with the teacher's aide and the students to grow vegetables, and we demonstrate different gardening techniques. We try to make it fun, too.
How many different elementary schools do you service in your area?
That is growing. We have a long-term program in Corrales at the Corrales Elementary School. It is part of the curriculum. It is considered like a science class, and it's for fifth graders. So it's very intensive, and Master Gardeners help the teacher in that case. And we have another after-school program, a couple of after-school programs in Rio Rancho, too.
Has the program matured to the point that there's actually a small garden at the school?
Oh, yes. Yes. All these programs include a garden. And parents and other volunteers may work on the gardens, too, to help.
And I just wanted to finish my thought on the Master Gardener
yes.
class. You know, if it's 125 or maybe it's up to 150,
yes.
that's, you're getting professional training for less than $10 a class.
Yes.
That's,
it's very intensive. Our mission in Master Gardeners is to learn. It's both a learning and an education. So Master Gardeners go through this training class and learn the latest in horticultural gardening topics through the Research University, NMSU. And then after that, they take that knowledge, both hands-on knowledge and lecture knowledge, and give that back to the community via our volunteer work or outreach activities.
And is this program a budget item for the county?
The County Extension Service does get funding through the state, and the state gets funding through the federal program. But each Master Gardener group also does their own fundraising, too, to help. They'll pay for some of the training, too, like travel for the lecturers. And then we will also provide programming through our dues and our fundraising.
And you're a volunteer organization under the County Agricultural Extension Office.
Correct.
And how many of you are there active?
In Sandoval County, we have approximately 140 to 150 Master Gardeners. Among those, we have life members. And the program has been going on for over 17 years right now. You're eligible for life membership after 15 years. So, we have a lot of life members. And of those life members, a few are still quite active, but the most active group is probably in the 120, 130. And those are new volunteers. As with any volunteer organization, many people only devote maybe 5 or 6 years to the program, but we do have some very dedicated volunteers that are up there, and every year we bestow life membership on a sure. 2 or 3 master gardeners.
And do you think that's the right number, or do you think, well, we probably need another 20?
Oh, we could always use more volunteers.
Really?
So we do encourage people that are interested in the Master Gardener program, even for their own purposes, but also to give back to the community. And in that process, you learn so much. I think our lecture class is tremendous, but when you apply it, either through outreach or in your own volunteer efforts, that's when you truly learn. So it is a light. I have to say that many master gardeners are somewhat sheepish about the title. You know, like we have
It
is a big title, but you're always learning. You get if you follow the complete the training class and you do your volunteer hours, at the end of the year you're eligible for Master Gardener certification. And most people do not believe they deserve it, but you know, so you have it is meant to the program is meant to be there long term.
Right.
So and you keep learning.
Maybe you need to introduce a pretty good gardener program where you can work up
yes.
to the master.
Yes, and some of our, like the people that we service too, many of them are, you know, really, we learn from also from the residential gardeners and from the commercial gardeners too.
So you have a new class every year.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any general reason that you've seen over the years from your experience? Why does someone go, you know, I don't want to just go down to a nursery and say, I got spots on my tomato.
Mm-hmm.
I want to become a pretty good gardener and then maybe a master gardener. Well, why are people taking the class?
Because good question. I took the class. I'll explain my own experience here. When I moved into Placidus in 2007, I had a mature garden, and there were a lot of plants I wasn't really familiar with since I had moved from the Chicago area.
That's a pretty different
zone. That was my most recent. And I struggled with knowing how to really care for those plants in the dry climate that we have here that's very sunny. And I read in the signpost that the Master Gardener class was coming up, and I said, I think that's something I want to participate in. And so I went to the Extension Service office. I said, I want to take the class, but they interviewed me. They interviewed, at that time, each applicant back then, and they explained what the class was about and the fact that that it is a volunteer program. And then subsequently, even though I was very familiar with the extension, the county and the state extension service, I wasn't familiar with the Master Gardener program where I came from. So,
I think I didn't speak for a living.
Yeah.
Does anybody take the class because they just want to use all this knowledge and not necessarily stay involved?
Oh, yes, with the they do. And for that, we really encourage those people to take our public classes. We offer several public classes, and it keeps growing every year. We have the Long Time Gardening with the Masters series that occurs the first Tuesday of the month at 7 p.m. It's at the Meadowlark Senior Center or the Community Center, and that's in Rio Rancho. Then we have the urban horticulture classes that we just started this year. And those are currently going. There's a class coming up on August 17th. You have your August calendar.
I do.
There's one on the 21st also on Wednesdays.
Right.
There's a
Bring Life to Sandy Soils.
That's the one in August.
Right. 1 p.m.
1 p.m. Is that August or September?
This is September. I'm sorry.
Okay, September. And then there is one in on August 17th. Go on the website.
Yeah.
Check out classes and go to the urban horticulture classes. Those are classes that are open to both master gardeners and to the public, and they're free.
I mean, as I said before, it's a very good website. It's very interactive, and just you could spend the whole morning on it finding out everything. Mm-hmm. What about people who hadn't attempted gardening before, and they have a blank canvas? Is the county or the Master Gardener program available for those folks?
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that, because we have a very good education, public education class called Homescapes Solutions, and it is open right now for registration. You can go online. It's called Homescapes Solutions. It starts September 8th. It's a maybe up to 5 to 6 week long class. You meet on Fridays, on Friday evenings and Saturday mornings. So it's set up well nicely for people that work too. But it is a landscape type of class. It goes through some traditional principles of landscaping, but it's also a team effort to help people on in their landscaping. Say you move to a new house and you don't have $100,000 to hire professional landscapers.
Is that what they go for?
Or $50,000,
okay.
Whatever.
Wow.
But this is a class for those that have smaller budgets and a lot of creativity. And the class teaches you how to do a plan. And you might have a short term and a long and you'll have a long term plan, but it teaches you to focus on one area at a time. You may have a general concept for the entire landscape of front, back, and sides,
right.
But focus on part of that landscape like you do when you decorate an internal room in a house.
So you mentioned that there is a hotline.
Yes, there's a hotline, and we can help you on any horticultural gardening issue, or even on a landscape issue,
Any clue how many calls a month or a year you get on that?
Well, the most active part of the year is from April through October, but we do get calls all year around, and it varies. A lot of it depends on what's going on with our weather.
Right.
And how hot it is. When it gets really hot, people stay inside. But as soon as it cools off and starts raining, people will go outside and find there's insects or that their plants need some additional attention.
Sure. Do we want to give that phone number?
Yes, I definitely do. Thank you. That number is the county's. It's Linda Garvin's number.
Linda will appreciate
when
that.
Linda, yes, and when Linda is away, you know, we have Elizabeth Hackett, who's our longtime devoted extension secretary. So you'll most likely the phone will be answered by her first initially, and that number is area code 505-867-2582. And you don't have to remember that. You can go onto our website and look at our contact information. So that's 867-2582. That also happens to be our Sandoval County Master Gardener hotline. So when the hotline is in session, or even when it's not, because it can be referred to a master gardener, depending on if it's a residential issue. And that's the number, 867-2582. We also have an e-hotline, and that's scmg@gmail.com. SCMG, that's the initials for Sandoval County Master Gardeners. So if it's something, it's an issue that doesn't need an immediate answer, perhaps you're planning on a garden, or you're doing some landscaping, or you want to find out what trees, the best trees to plant in our area, that would be a good source too.
Is
for
there
hotline.
A profile of the needs, especially of people in Placitas? You've got pretty gardens, you know, landscape gardens with maybe bigger shrubs or whatever. You've got edible gardens.
Right.
You've got, I guess, trees that will help abate some of the wind and the dust.
Right.
Some will bear fruit or drupes or whatever. And then ones for shade.
Yeah. Or we got complete hardscaped gardens or xeriscaped gardens right. with rock and maybe a few cacti. But yes, the gardens run a gamut here in Placidas. And if you want to see learn about a good variety of gardens, if you're not from Placidas or even if you are, we just started a new project called the Placidas Garden Tour. And we had we've had garden tours in Placidas before, but this garden tour is a joint project with the Sandoval County Master Gardeners and the Placidas Community Library. We had the first tour May 16th this year. The 2017 tour is May 21st on a Sunday, 9 to 4 p.m. And you can see a variety of gardens there. You can see, like what Matthew just said, windbreaks. You can see some pretty, you know, like some gardeners are very hands-on and intense, and they have developed some very lush gardens, but still within the concept of a xeriscape, sure. Practical garden. And others are more hardscape with fewer plants, and then we have gardens that have vegetables, nice raised bed, hoop house type gardens too.
Right. And I think last year the garden tour, wasn't that coupled with the plein air society
yes,
painting,
right,
which was kind
do.
Of a cool touch?
Yeah, we also, because our Placidas is in our community, people enjoy art, yes. Well, we are partnered with plein air painters as organized by Sue Winstead in Corrales, and she also has her plein air painters at the Albuquerque Garden Tour, too. So painters are painting scenes from each garden morning and afternoon, and it's a fun way to really appreciate the art of plein air painting, which is open air painting,
right.
A French term, and capturing the beauty in the garden.
Right. That's a goal.
That's
have
a
your
goal.
Air, your home included in the garden tour, and a personal plein air painter.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, Matthew, I liked what you emailed me as far as gardening. In this time of history, or any time in history for that matter, but I think we are going back to the older principles of gardening, like you mentioned, the victory gardens, sustainable gardening.
Yeah, there's so many reasons now. It's mm-hmm. People are concerned about what goes into the food, mm-hmm. they, even down to where'd those seeds come from. Are those heirloom, or are those hybrid, or are those GMO?
Yes.
And also the economy. People want to, if I can grow mm-hmm. stuff that's $4 a pound in the grocery store, and it just takes a little water and love, that's mm-hmm. where we're going.
Yes. Yeah, and we also, because of, you know, the interest in climate change, and I think we can all identify that with here in the high desert, because we've had some... We just came off a couple of years ago of about a 10-year drought. It was very extreme. We've since been getting monsoon rains, although this year I'm not. Let's hope we still continue to get monsoon rains.
Right.
But
I understand from people mm-hmm. who were, I wasn't a permanent resident 8 years ago or whatever, mm-hmm. but people tell me that all the desert that we kind of see as green now mm-hmm. was totally brown because of the drought.
Exactly, yeah. And we are, it's a growing population. We all want to live in beautiful areas. Placidas is, like, let's talk about Placidas, for instance. We're up in the foothills, and we're not very close to the river, so our water tables are irregular, and our better neighborhoods are growing. People love the wide open spaces and the panoramas of Placidas. But we do have to be cognizant of how we use our water here,
that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Can I have all of these wonderful things we've spoken about this morning, and still responsibly use water?
Mm-hmm.
Is it too much of a drain?
Well, I think planting here. This is how I feel like planting, and particularly, you know, trees and shrubs, are a way they do benefit the landscape. And if we responsibly plant them and plant them correctly and don't overplant for our own particular needs and how we can maintain them, that they do benefit the environment and they help the water table. Right. Because trees, landscaping will prevent erosion, runoff that does go into our river, it will act like a cleansing medium, so that toxins that like waste and things don't get in, stop that, to slow down that migration into our water table. Because we all live on the water table, even up here in Placidas, even though we don't think we do, that because this whole area is a watershed for the Rio Grande. And streets are one of these runoff areas, too. That, and if we plant responsibly, that plantings can help that erosion and runoff to our rivers.
Do you need to be concerned that you would be watering something edible from street runoff water, if that's collecting in your garden area in one way or another?
Yes, and so you probably, you want to design your landscape such that you're slowing down that water and it will filter into the soil instead of just running off into your landscape. Or like, say you're at a lower level from a street, you don't want, and you have a vegetable garden there, you don't want that to be contaminated with some waste of car waste or, you know, animal waste.
And so, and your the home visit that a master gardener would perform could help you plan that and go, that's a good place for a shrub, that's not a good place for edibles.
Yeah, right. And then at the Homescape Solutions class that I talked to you about, like most of us here all over in Sandoval County, and particularly in Placidas, do have issues with runoff. So to do a combination of hardscaping, terracing, and using the land such that you're slowing down the water, like it's not, it's what you're doing, it's kind of passive rainwater harvesting.
Right.
So you can take advantage of when we do get those heavy rains, such that the water, slowing down the water into areas that you have planted.
Right.
Or plant in areas where you know the water is going in, but still provide berms, terracing, so that your landscape is not torn up by a heavy rain.
Do you ever have people like newbie gardeners, or they're not quite to that step yet in this Placitas? They may be, you know, from Albuquerque, and they've been here but not here. I think of times when I actually had enough hair to be concerned about getting a good haircut. And you see pictures on the wall. This is probably more true for women. They'll say, I want this cut. It's real popular now.
Yeah.
Heather Locklear, or does that date me with talking to her? and they'll go, yeah, your hair won't do that. It's way too thick, or it's way too thin.
Yes.
Do people say, I want to grow figs. Yeah. And you'll come out and go, there's no way that this piece of land you have will grow figs. Does that happen?
Yes, it does. Oftentimes, people are like, whether it's in like fruit trees, figs, grape vines, or whatever, or
bananas.
Decorative, you know, landscape. I haven't had that one yet, but I it is sometimes impossible to do that, or it takes a lot of effort do it, and like. Like you said, like, you know, no one hairdo fits any one person, so that's the same with gardening. Work with your garden to the best you can. Perhaps you may not have the microclimates that your neighbor has, or like you see something somebody on the garden tour does. Yeah,
that could be an acre or two away, and they could grow different things than you, possibly.
That is correct. If they have. They have maybe more protection, like maybe they have more trees, or they're set into the hillside such that they're not subject to all the winds, or drying winds, or they built hardscape structures to help protect their plants, things like that.
Is there, this may be too general a question, but in the high desert up here in Placitas, if someone said, Sandy, I want to plant a fruit tree.
Yes.
Well, first, what's the going to be the best bang for my buck, and when should I plant it?
Right. And a lot of people want to do apricots. And apricots are probably even though everybody loves apricots, are not a really great tree for all over Sandoval County, just because we get it gets very warm here in the wintertime, and those trees blossom early. And then, of course, we get our spring freezes. We get a late freeze. We get a freeze in late April, typically, or early May. They freeze, the blossoms or the fruit starts do freeze, or they don't get pollinated.
So don't get apricot.
Yeah, unless you have a microclimate and you want to struggle with it,
so
you can do it. The best ones are, peaches are great, although they can be subject to freezes too. Apples, plums, certain types of plums, not so much there are more sensitive plums. But we do have lists of appropriate fruit trees to grow in the area, if somebody wants to get that information.
Do you also have resources of master gardener approved, if there is such a thing, places to get trees or vegetables?
Well, master gardeners, we don't typically promote businesses or detract from them, but there are businesses that do specialize in rootstock and hybrid trees. You can do a lot with hybrid trees, but they have a rootstock that's more hardy for New Mexico. And so I would recommend searching out for that. And we can give out some information on that, but we don't promote one over another.
Call the hotline.
Hotline, yeah.
There are many more hobby gardeners now, as we've spoken about, for many reasons. Mm-hmm. And there are some very affordable hobby greenhouses.
Yes.
How much extra oomph or juice does that give me to do that, to invest in a small greenhouse? Does that just like triple or give me a factor of 10 of production I'm going to have?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think if you're looking for like vegetable production, a hoop house or a greenhouse would definitely help you, because you can get a jump start on plants. A point that I didn't mention previously, another issue that we face here is that even though we have warm winters, you can't really put most vegetables in the ground prior to May 15th, like your sensitive vegetables, like peppers and tomatoes.
Mother's Day is
Mother's Day. And then that ends up being kind of like a short growing season, a season that's similar to Chicago. However, there are cold weather vegetables, and you can do cold frames to help to lengthen your growing season. Now, on the back end, we do have a slightly longer growing season, even though our average first frost date is October 15th. Many times we go through November without, and if you just use some cover, like row cover or other cover to protect your crops, you can go beyond that.
So is it unrealistic?
But so the greenhouse and your hoop houses can help you also to extend your growing season.
So if someone like myself is interested in growing as much as I can, because I have dirt and I have time, I seem to have less time than I thought I had, to, say, have tomatoes all year if I have a little hoop house. It sounds like I'm going to have rotating crops throughout the year depending on the climate.
Yes. Growing tomatoes all year round may be challenging. I know. I've had some clients asking about that. You may get, if it's all indoors, you may get some pests and things like that. Tomatoes do seem to be a crop that is best, like if you start it early, if you can get a head start and grow your crops up, do your seeding sometime in April, and then have crops to put in.
So the old-fashioned way of canning,
right.
Sun-drying the tomatoes.
Uh-huh. Right.
So just adjust your harvesting, your eating, your menu planning around what's going to be growing then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, when people have a greenhouse, they have to consider climate control, because like if you're in the middle of our sunny winter and the sun's out, it can be very extremely hot. So you have to have good ventilation or temperature control. And in the summer, if your greenhouse is not in shade, too, you can also face that problem. And in the wintertime, in the evenings when it get down below freezing, if you don't have your heating, that can be a problem. So greenhouse growing, I think you can use it. The average garden can use it for certain months. But if you're going to use it all year round, you do have to look at some sophisticated temperature controls.
Yeah, you need the accessories.
Yes, the accessories.
Not just a glass or plexiglass.
However, if you're into gear, you know, that could be fun too.
Does the Master Gardener program offer any advice on greenhouses or setting one up?
Yes, we do. We have a typically a training on hoop house building. We have several Master Gardeners that have their own greenhouses. A good demonstration greenhouse is our seed-to-need garden out in Corrales. And they utilize their greenhouse to get the seedlings started early in April. And then they have a massive amount of volunteers that go out and plant them in about the middle of May. So that could be a good demonstration. You can contact the Seed to Need Garden. It is a Master Gardener project, but it is its own 501c3 charitable organization. They grow crops for the food banks. It's Penny Davis is the director and Master Gardener. Master Gardeners are the primary volunteers, but the Seed to Need organization utilizes school groups, scouting groups, adult groups, UNM volunteers, and a variety of other volunteers to help out in the process. But the Master Gardeners are the volunteers are the ones that are there from the beginning to the end.
And you Seed to Need triggered we have a seed bank. Is that part of the
Master No? Although they Seed to Need does get volunteer donations on seeds. They may save some seeds, but we do have a seed saving library that is a Master Gardener project for the last 3 to 4 years. It is housed in the Esther Bone Library in Rio Rancho. We have a seed catalog, similar to a card catalog, like the old wooden card catalog.
Sure.
And we use that was donated by a Master Gardener, and we have seeds in there. And the hope was to get more heirloom type seeds, although they accept any type of seeds, and they have their own website too. Link to our Master Gardener website. So you can go to the SandovalSeedLibrary.com and to Google that, or you can go through the Sandoval Master Gardeners .org website. .org website, and also get to projects and go to the Sandoval Seed Library.
But we don't have, like you see in some of the sci-fi movies, where all the seeds are stored underground in an abandoned salt mine to keep them pure.
No, but there is that concept. The project founder, I know, had strong ideas about that to encourage the integrity of the seeds. Yeah.
Speaking of integrity of the seeds, everyone's bought a little packet of seeds, whether it's daisies or tomatoes or whatever, at a retail store. And there is a date on it, usually just a year.
Yeah.
Is that when it was harvested, or I have to use it by there, or how accurate is that?
Well, if you're interested in high yield, do you follow that expiration date? However, Master Gardener projects, we get seeds donated from different nurseries and stores. And I don't have a problem using old seed. Just realize that not every seed is going to germinate.
Well, that's a good term, old seed, because I'll have a cantaloupe I buy at a store. It's like the best cantaloupe ever. I'm saving those seeds. Do I have to plant them the next season, or can I hold on to them for another season?
Yeah, well, if they're stored properly, like in a cool, dry climate, and And you might, and in some cases, you might even have to, I'm not saying cantaloupe seeds, but there's some seeds, like if you're looking at native plants, you might have to treat them in a certain way, like cold harden them, like what happens, duplicate what happens to those seeds in nature.
Right.
The Santa Ana, by the way, the Santa Ana Nursery has a, they specialize in natives. And you can go to their nursery and request a tour of their facility, not their nursery, their retail nursery, right. but their actual nursery
and they're just
on the Pueblo. And that is a great source for native plants. The seed library, the Sandoval Seed Library, which is part of the Master Gardener program, has some good advice on like if you have tomato seeds or cantaloupe seeds, on how to harvest them and to wash them and to save them.
And the native nursery is just east of the casino in 550.
Yes, it's on, I think you go down Camino del Pueblo and but you head north towards El Gadones.
Okay.
And it's a few miles beyond there, and it's a Santa Ana Pueblo. You take a left and just maybe drive down a mile, and you'll see the nursery on your right.
Say Sandy sent me.
And you could show up, too, but they like you to call. And you can contact the nursery, too, to get the contact number for them.
You mentioned pests or melons, and I'm thinking of all the little critters we have around here that we all love and adore.
Particularly this year with the rabbits. So rabbits have been a really huge problem for everybody in Placidas and all over Sandoval County.
Unless you like eating rabbit.
Yeah, and they're cute, though, I have to say that. I've noticed when I walk the dog in the morning, I'm not even outside of our driveway, and there's two young bunnies, and they go in pairs. And so there's just so many this
year.
That's
why there's so many bunnies.
I don't know if it's the rains that we had and the monsoons, like in the winter or in last fall.
Well, is that just a fact of life? Are they going to destroy my harvest? Or
yes, they will, even if it's fenced in.
They won't share.
You have to be very careful this year. I have a small garden with a rabbit fence on it, and I saw several bunnies. Some of the younger bunnies will get in between the openings, and the larger ones will just jump over if they're motivated. Maybe those were the baby bunnies that were trained in there. They jump over. And I put multiple cages inside the garden, and I've had problems. I've had to utilize row cover, not just for a shade, shading device, but also just to keep out critters.
Growing up, we used like cayenne pepper to sprinkle around it for pests. Does that work on bunnies?
That could go, but you can get the spray.
Sure.
But you can also make your own spray with eggs and pepper sauce and some sulfur. And anything that sulfur producing, you can spray that. It is a rabbit and a deer retardant. It works good, but when it rains, you have to go out and reapply it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not like Louisiana. It doesn't rain very often here.
Yes,
even in the
that's
rainy
true.
Season. It'll stay a good long time.
Yeah, I've used that, particularly when I was starting landscaping plants, and you could use it in your garden, too. Because it's safe, and it's not going to affect the taste of the vegetables.
Well, and hot peppers grow so abundantly here.
Yeah.
Why not dry them, make them up into a spray, and we're just using it
you
for
can
everything.
Do that. Yeah, that's all about reusing our resources,
for
protecting the environment. Yeah.
I was thinking of a moat with alligators, but that probably wouldn't pass my HOA.
Let's talk about shade.
Okay.
We're talking about it because we are high elevation, and we don't have a lot of protection from sunlight. And
I know what you mean.
So this is not Missouri or Nebraska or Iowa or the East. Like there you struggle to find sunlight for your vegetables if you're in an urban environment. Here, you want to plant your vegetables in the shadiest side of your home. So if you can get morning sunlight and reduced afternoon light. And in addition to that, you may need additional shading and
You're going to have to build something or
you have
or
to
plant
do
something.
A shade structure. You can do... you know, a simple something like a chicken wire cone or a cylinder, and you could put shade cloth on that, or you can put a product called row cover. It's a synthetic cloth, right. Polyester cloth that can go. Agribond is a trade right. name for it.
But it allows water it through.
Water goes through. It's not really good for deep watering. You should still deep water around the row cloth, you know, as your roots grow. But yes, some water will go through. But the row cover will reduce the light intensity by 30%. Your shade cloth a little bit more, and shade cloth comes in different fabrications, you know, and they rate it for
as far as how many gallons per minute will go through.
Well, no, for the light.
Oh, the percent of light.
For the light that it will allow okay. or retard.
Right. Mm-hmm. How'd we do for a first time? We cover enough?
I think so, too. And also, don't forget to plant in groups, corn, like the Pueblo Three Sisters corn, beans, and squash. But you can do that in your own landscape plants,
grouping
too.
Types of vegetables?
Yeah. Or vegetables, yes. Like, so you can plant corn, or you can... tomatoes, I love carrots. You know, there's a lot of good relationship planting, too, oh. where plants benefit from each other.
I thought you were saying I had to, like, invite some people over so I could plant in groups.
Oh. Well, it helps if you have a lot of planting to do.
So, oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's like having friends when you move.
Yes. Anything else?
I think we're doing well here
okay.
for round one.
Oh, good.
Hopefully you'll come back
yes,
as the seasons
I'd love to.
Change and tell uh-huh. us what's happening at that time.
Yeah.
But in the interim, everyone can go to Sandoval.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get that right.
Sandoval.
MasterGardeners.org and learn in more detail everything we've spoken about today and more. And there's probably a class for everything that we've spoken about, or any garden need, watering issue, landscaping, mm-hmm. If you need your skin to clear up, but you teach everything
yeah.
there.
And watering is a big issue, how to water properly. If you know how to water properly and shade plants, you're on your way to successful gardening.
And one thing I learned mm-hmm. is that because we do xeriscape, everything's the mm-hmm. desert here, it
yeah.
seems to grow anyway, but I have this compulsion to water it. If it's green, I have to water it, and that's probably the worst thing you can do
yeah, you
for
can
many of the plants
too.
We have, because
yeah.
I will tell you, they will die.
Yes, especially natives.
Yes. So for Conversations with Matthew Bronson, this has been a conversation with Sandy from the Sandoval Master Gardeners. Until next time on KUPR 99.9, thank you.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you.